But for now, let's go to the book of Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. And this morning, I am going to start reading at verse number 12. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 12. I will have the words up here on the screen. I'm going to read 12 through the remainder of the chapter. And I will be reading out of my New American Standard Bible translation. If you have your place in your bulletins, or excuse me, in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse number 12. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes this letter to the people in the churches at Galatia, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we go through these final verses of this great book, Father, there's more and more truths that need to be revealed to us. So, Father, this morning I am just praying that you will reveal those to us. Work on each and every one of our hearts so that we all learn something new and we can all become a little more Christ-like here today because of what your scriptures are teaching us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I thought that they were going in and out. Actually, I did replace them while we were singing our song, but I did notice as I was just reading right there, it sounds like it was still going in and out. So, hopefully it'll stay in. Amber, you got that line to God. Pray for my pray for my transmitter here this morning. Hey, we'll all pray. Make sure that this thing will stay going. All right, well, let's get started here. Today, we conclude our expository study of this book of Galatians. And this is message number 47, and I have titled today's message, The Cross of Christ, the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in chapter 6, verse number 12. So let me do the math for you, because I know some of you might be trying to figure that out. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament Bible out of 27 books. It took us 47 weeks to get through 6 chapters from this book of Galatians. So let's do a little bit of algebra here. At that rate, it will take us 2,036 weeks to get through the entire New Testament. That is over 39 years. That means I will be 106 when we get done with all the New Testament books. So let's get started. Galatians 6:12. Last week I said there were two main themes that run through the conclusion of this letter. The first theme is this: they desire to make a good showing. We talked about that last week, of how the false teachers wanted to make a good showing. And number two, they will not be persecuted. And today, that's where our focus is going to be. The second theme, they will not be persecuted. One thing that is obvious about the human condition is that we want to be able to have our cake and what? And eat it too, don't we? We want to have our cake and eat it too. Let me give you three hypothetical examples of what that might sound like. Sure, I'll drive the school bus as long as my route is on the good side of town with those well-behaved kids. Number two, sure, I will help you do some work around town as long as we don't have to mingle with those homeless people. And number three, sure, I'll go to church with you this coming Sunday as long as I don't have to put money in the basket when the offering plate comes around. Quite often, we, as human beings with the human condition, we agree to do things as long as the conditions for doing so are under our terms. We will do it, but it's like Elvis sang, we want to do it what? Our way. And Frank Sinatra, thank you. Frank Sinatra and Elvis sang the same song. We want to do it under our terms and under our conditions. Getting back to those three examples that I gave you, those same three people could say something like this. Listen, I just don't want those misbehaving kids on my bus because they bother me. Example number two. Listen, I just don't want to be around those dirty homeless people because they smell bad. Number three, listen, I earned this money and I will give it when I want to give it, where I want to give it, and to whom I want to give it. Well, the false teachers in the churches at Galatia were no different. Their motives were all about self by pleasing others, by pleasing the people. And their terms and conditions would be that what they taught had to keep them from being persecuted by the Jews. However, preaching the cross of Christ and the cross alone guarantees persecution to some degree. Galatians 6:17. Let's see what Paul had. He writes this, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. When the Apostle Paul wrote verse number 17, he is talking about all the physical punishment and persecution that he encountered on his missionary journeys when you preach the cross of Christ. And he documents a lot of that persecution in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. And I want to read all that to you so we know what Paul had undergone in his missionary journeys. There's a lot up here, but let me read all this to you. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. Are they servants of Christ? Now, I'm just going to stop there briefly. Back in the church in Corinth had the same problem the church in Galatia had. False teachers were coming in, and they were actually calling themselves super apostles. So Paul wants to question these false teachers. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from some such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Let no one fool you. When the cross of Christ is being preached, it could go to these extremes. And then sometimes people like us, when we're sitting in Applebee's or Red Lobster or McDonald's, we don't even want to pray out loud for fear that someone might look at us and maybe even laugh at us. What is that compared to this? Jesus talks about persecution in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, when he's going through the Beatitudes, blessed are, and he says this, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Standing for the cross of Christ, yes, will have its eternal rewards. But remember that the prophets in the Old Testament also stood for the word of God, and they were persecuted, and many of them were even killed. And now, in the New Testament, we are told by the word of God that when you stand for the word of God, that when you stand for the cross of Christ, there will be persecution too. So let's ask that question again. So as Christians, can we have our cake and eat it too? In other words, can we just have Jesus without the persecution? Well, here's the mindset of the Galatian false teachers who believed that they could have their cake and eat it too. We have four fill in the blanks in our bulletin. Let's go to the first three. This is what the false teachers in Galatia were thinking when they did what they did. Fill in the blank number one. They would say something like this. As long as I throw in circumcision, the Jews are happy, and therefore I avoid persecution. It begins with a false message to please certain interest groups, in this case the Judaizers, who would have persecuted them. And today that translates into this. The church needs to be politically correct because we don't want to offend anybody. Well, not here, but in some other places. Number two, let's preach circumcision. Number two, as long as I speak a convincing message, the people are happy, and therefore I gain their favor. As long as the people are happy, it continues with the false teacher having a charismatic approach to win the people over, maybe to say what their itching ears want to hear. So those are the first two. And then we get to our third step, and it looks something like this. The false teachers would say, as long as I can make a good showing for myself, I am happy, and therefore will continue preaching circumcision. It ends with all the praises going to the preacher, the false teacher. And as long as I get the praises, hey, I feel really good about that. And if you look at these steps in Galatia, this worked for the false teachers. Step number one, the Jews are happy. Step number two, the people are happy. And step number three, I am happy. The philosophy was this, just don't make any waves and we'll all just get along. Not only me and you, but the Jews out there also. It's obviously a win-win-win situation. So I guess I can have my cake and eat it too. And you notice the false teaching just keeps on going around in circles and keeps on snowballing because it ends with, If I'm happy, I'll continue preaching circumcision, which leads us back up here, which this thing just keeps on going and going and going. And unfortunately, this circle of errors, E-R-R-O-R-S, errors, still works today. There is something synonymous about what one teaches, and how one can boast about the results of that teaching. And Paul addresses that in verses 13 and 14. And he says this, there's really only two choices, and those are bold and underlined. Either the teacher, A, can boast in your flesh, or choice number two, they can boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only two choices. And that leads us to our fourth and final fill in the blank. And it would say this, if one preaches a false gospel, that gives one the opportunity to boast in many ways about oneself. If one preaches the true gospel, that gives one the opportunity to boast in only one way, and that one way is the cross of Christ. So let's kind of take a step back. Let's look at some basic Christian theology, and let's go back to some verses that we're all familiar with. The first one I want to put up here is Ephesians 2:8. We all know this verse, basic Christianity. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is basic Christian, here's a big word for you, soteriology. You might say, oh, I've heard that word before, Mike, what does it mean? Soteriology is the study of how one gets saved. It's a big word. So that's basic Christian soteriology. We're saved by grace through what?
Faith.
Through faith. That's what it says, right. It's pretty happy. But once we are saved, what happened? Let's kind of digress here a second. What happened before that moment that we got saved? Well, this happened, Romans 10:17. So faith, the faith that saved us, comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If you are saved, if any person is saved, at some point in time, they heard the word of Christ. They heard the gospel message. You heard it, and you placed your faith in that word. And that saving faith saved you. It saved me. But what happened before this? Paul addresses that in Romans 10:14 through 15. He says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. This is the progression of a salvation experience. Believe it or not, I went through it, you went through it, if you are saved. What happened was this. We'll go backwards. The word was preached. You heard the word. You believed in the word. And then you called on the name of the Lord, which is Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. Right. So he says that in 10:13. Then he goes on to say, well, how can you call upon the name of the Lord? You have to believe in him. But first you have to hear. But even before that, somebody has to preach that message to you. So I'm going to ask a question, and you don't have to raise your hand or answer this. Just kind of answer it to yourself. When, where, how, and through who did you come to a saving faith in your life, a saving faith in Jesus Christ? Was it through maybe your mom or dad, your parents, or was it a Sunday school teacher possibly? Or maybe you were watching somebody on television, or maybe you were listening to the radio, or maybe it was a preacher in a church, or maybe it was just a series of events where somebody planted and somebody else watered, and you just cannot pinpoint that date, but you know at some point in time you committed your life to Jesus Christ. And that list of people can go on and on and on. And if we were to ask all of us, we would all have different stories, and that's okay. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. And maybe it was you who were the seed planter. Or maybe it was you who watered the salvation into another person. Or maybe it was you who were there when the eyes of somebody else was open to the truth of the gospel message, when they called on the name of the Lord, and you were there and you could see the excitement on their face. Yes, those are all exciting times when we know that we, in some way, shape, or form, maybe in just some small little way, were a part of someone coming to Christ. But, as Diana Ross would say, stop. This is where we need to stop. This is where we need to stop and move out of the way. Why? Because we, as Christians, are doing nothing more than obeying the command of Jesus in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where he says, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'll be with you until the end of the age. So where is the praise, and where is the glory, and where is all the boasting directed towards? Well, Paul says that in 6:14. Boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. Boasting goes one place, the cross. The cross. We, even though we may have shared some good news or spoke something here or there or planted and watered, we don't do the saving, do we? It's not us. The Word of God does the saving. The cross of Christ does the saving. We, some plant, some water, but who makes it grow? God makes it grow. 1 Corinthians 3. Amen. Very good. So let's get back to Romans, or let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I'm going to ask, just read this for you. Paul writes this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek." So the question is this, who and or what has the power of salvation? Let me tell you the wrong answer. It's not me, and it's not you. Who has the power for salvation? God has the power of salvation. It's through his word where the power of salvation comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Paul writes this, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul wants to make sure in these verses that it was not his persuasive speech, nor was it his magnificent articulation of words that convinced anyone to be saved. The power is not in our words. It's not in my words. The power is in these words. This is where the power of salvation lies. The power is in the cross of Christ. I find that rather simple to understand. But it amazes me that in today's world, church after church after church, think the process of winning souls is by having some kind of fancy marketing campaign. Or make sure you have a loud praise band. Or make sure that you teach the people that they can get rich quick when they commit their life to Jesus and all their problems will be solved. Or on-stage antics, which feed only the carnality of the people who are attending that church. What saves people today, folks, is the same thing that saved people 2,000 years ago. The gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that alone. We all know this, but I'm going to say it again. I have a sin problem. You have a sin problem. Everyone in the world has a sin problem. And the only way that that sin problem is going to be cured is by believing in the forgiveness that is provided by the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul writes this in verses 15 and 16. He writes, circumcision isn't anything, uncircumcision anything, but a new creation. That is what is at stake here. It's not about the boasting. It's not about the power or the prestige. In other words, Paul is saying this, church, forget about the works. Forget about the amazing praise band with the fog machines and the great light show. Forget about the free coffee and donuts before the service. It's all about the cross of Jesus Christ. And folks, when it starts being about something other than the cross of Christ, that person is in the wrong church. Thank you. Thank you. Galatians 6:15. But a new creation. Folks, the gospel is all about the salvation of lost souls. Isn't that our mission? The great commission to go on out and make disciples of all nations. And a new creation only happens when one hears and believes the good news of the cross of Christ. Getting back to Galatians 6:12. The false teachers in Galatia, Paul writes this, simply so that they will not be persecuted. Let me use kind of today's terms. The false teachers in the area of Galatia, in those churches, didn't have enough spine or backbone to preach the true gospel simply so they would not be persecuted. How sad is that? I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to offend anybody. I know you're getting tired of me putting video clips up here, but I couldn't help myself. You're going to see one more. Yes, and it's my good old buddy from Lakewood, Texas, telling us how much he is just like a false teacher in Galatia. He's in an interview with Larry King.
Phoenix, Arizona, hello.
Hello, Larry, you're the best. And thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe
so
that. That's
what you was not going to.
No, here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it,
well,
it is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but I...
About atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth. And I say it every week, you know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But, you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
I don't make this stuff up, folks. There he is. Please, do me one favor. Do not follow this man. Okay? Because you heard what he said. Oh, I believe with my own heart. Well then, Joel, stick up for what's in your own heart. Atheists aren't going to heaven. Jews aren't going to heaven. If you don't commit to the cross of Christ, you are hopelessly lost. Amen? Amen. Ah, huh. Oh, gee. And this guy has 1.7 million followers on YouTube, and he's bringing in 70,000 people a week into his church. And folks, if this is what they're listening to, they're all going to hell. You don't think that's serious? This guy with the pretty smile and the good hair, and that's all that they look at? It's not about the appearance. It's not about the good books and having your best life now. It's about the winning of souls. It's about the cross of Christ. And when it begins to be about something else, these people are in the wrong church. Gee, let me finish.
I didn't really feel about that.
The book of Galatians. It's been a wonderful 47-week journey. We began the study back on February the 2nd of 2020. Yes, we had to take some time away due to the coronavirus, and we got sidetracked on other messages that were necessary to speak at that time. But in 47 weeks, I feel that we have covered as much as we could possibly cover, and hopefully we have left no stone unturned. So where do we go from here? Well, I want to take the next few weeks to explain the gospel. If the gospel is what saves, and Paul is so adamant about getting the gospel right, then what is the gospel? And let's make sure that we know what it is and we have it right also. Then after a few weeks of that, then we'll begin an expository study of another New Testament book. Because I'll be 105 before you know it. But I want to end this series with the same words that the Apostle Paul ended this letter to the Galatians. Beech Grove, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Let's pray.